The parable in today's gospel is generally considered the most difficult parable to understand in all of the gospels. And, you know, some scholars argue that it even defies explanation, that it just doesn't make sense, because you have this steward who's stealing from his master and using it to ensure that he's going to be well off after he's fired. And yet this dishonest steward is commended. But St. Augustine, actually, he's one of the great fathers of the church, he actually gave a homily telling people, you cannot use this parable to justify stealing, so stop trying to do that. So it was clearly misinterpreted at different times. But if we look carefully at the wording, the master in the parable does not commend the steward for stealing. And he actually calls him dishonest. So he's recognizing that this individual is violating the moral law. He is doing something wrong. But what the steward is commended for is being prudent and how resourceful he is in getting ahead. And the point that this parable is driving at actually has to deal with salvation. You know, if this steward, and in general, if people in this world can be so crafty and put so much thought into getting ahead in this life, how much more should we, as children of the light, as Christians, be resourceful when it comes to seeking salvation? Like, should we not be thinking and using all of our resources and thoughts and, you know, focusing on what we can do to get ahead when it comes to salvation? That's the point that the parable's driving at. And when we say salvation, what are we talking about? What does that mean? Well, Psalm 84 says, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. You know, one moment in eternal life for the saints who have attained salvation is worth far more than 1,000 years anywhere else. Salvation is so important. It is a gift beyond anything we can possibly imagine. But as we look at what salvation is, the essential element, what's at the heart of salvation, is what we call the beatific vision. It's a vision of the face of God, seeing God face to face. And that vision brings beatitude. That's another word for happiness, because that is what we are ultimately created for. Each one of us at the depths of our souls is created for the beatific vision. And we will only find true fulfillment in that encounter. And so what is it about the beatific vision that brings such happiness and such fulfillment? Well, part of that is because the Lord knows us perfectly. You know, nobody else in this world knows us perfectly. You know, there's always misunderstandings or things that people don't really understand about us. Or, you know, they might know to a certain degree what we're experiencing, but not perfectly. But the Lord knows every thought and every desire within us perfectly. You know, and so in the beatific vision, you know, the saints in heaven experience a union with God that is so deep and so complete that in that relationship there's nothing hidden and no imperfections and nothing lacking. You know, imagine a person, you know, a friend who knows every single thing that you've ever experienced and has experienced themselves what you're feeling. You know, that's just not possible with a friendship in this world. But with God, it is, because he knows us from the inside. And in the beatific vision, the saints realize that the life of God is actually flowing internally within them, and that there is a union so deep that it permeates to the very deepest part of their souls. And so in the beatific vision is a perfect union. And in that union, the saints in heaven will see the infinite goodness of God and his truth. You know, they'll see a being that is so good with such an incredible purity that experience would be overwhelming. You know, sometimes we might see someone in this life who makes a great act of kindness, and we can be inspired and think, well, this person has shown great goodness. But in God, we will see a goodness and that is far deeper than that, because he's the source of everything that's good and holy in this world. And so the saints in heaven will experience a moral beauty that's incomprehensible in the goodness of God. And God is also unwavering. You know, oftentimes we change our minds or we make a commitment like, oh, I should do this for a person. But, you know, we fall away quickly. Or we're like, you know, from now on, I'm going to stop, you know, arguing with this person. And then a day later, we're arguing with them again. You know, God is not like that. His will is unchanging. And what he wills is eternal. And so in him, you know, the saints experience someone who is not fickle. You know, who is not going to change their mind or fall short of expectations. And because heaven is eternal, you know, as the blessed are experiencing the beatific vision, they don't have to worry about time ticking away. You know, they don't have to think, well, there's only a few more hours left or a few more minutes left and then I have to go. You know, or the, you know, the day is almost over and as great as this is, it's going to end. You know, they don't have to leave and experience that. Because in eternity, there will be no end. Salvation is worth every effort and sacrifice that we could possibly make in order to attain it. It is the purpose for which each one of us exists. You know, this fallen world around us, with all of its darkness and brokenness and all of the injustice and violence that we see around us, this is not what we are created for. And none of us are permanent residents here. We're only here temporarily. And very often, we are way too attached to this world. You know, very often, we're afraid to leave it and we cling to what's here because we don't have our hope set upon what we're truly created for. You know, one of the flaws in modern thinking is that people think that salvation is easy. You know, like, well, everyone goes to heaven, it's easy to get there. But it's not easy. That's simply not the case. You know, salvation requires an internal purification. You know, we have to be purified of the disorder and the brokenness within us, and we have to give our consent for that to happen, not just one time, but on an ongoing basis in our daily life, because every day there's choices before us whether to choose virtue or vice. And so it's a constant commitment that we have to be choosing virtue and growing in holiness so that we can become like God. You know, we have to become faithful and sacrificial and patient and kind and selfless. And so we have to commit to that and realize that we want salvation and we have to follow the path that leads there. You know, one of the important things that can lead us there, highlighted by the gospel, it says, make friends with dishonest wealth. You know, what does that mean? Well, the wealth that we have, you know, that we've accumulated, ultimately it isn't ours. You know, everything belongs to God. If we use the surplus wealth that we're given to give alms, imagine for a second stepping into the next life, after we die, stepping into eternity and meeting an entire crowd of people there that say to us as we step into eternity, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. When we give alms, it's an act of charity that we're using something that's fleeting, that we have just for a few moments in this life, that can resonate in eternity. And so, you know, one of the questions we can ask ourselves is, you know, how do we use our surplus wealth? Are we more concerned with what we can buy for ourselves? Or do we focus on how we can use that for others in a way that's generous and in a way that builds rewards for in eternity and leads us to salvation? And so the purification that's necessary takes a lifetime of effort. It takes a lot of graces. It takes the grace of the sacraments, from baptism to the Eucharist to confession. And it requires a life of prayer and a lot of sacrifices. But it is absolutely worth it. And so the challenge for us today as we reflect upon today's gospel is to be resourceful, more resourceful than people are in this world for gaining comforts and a good environment for themselves, but to be resourceful in seeking salvation and in getting ahead on the path to eternal life. And so I encourage us to take some time today to think of one or two specific and meaningful things that we can do, things we can change in our lives, commitments that we can make that will truly help us to advance on the path of salvation, to be resourceful and to think carefully and to come up with one or two things and to make a strong resolution to carry those out on the path to salvation.